And we've been speaking. Let me first pray for us and we can start. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have your word in our hands, your word that became flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this Bible, the physical word, the written word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that has inspired every verse, every word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are interpreting and you are connecting it to our spirit man this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have started with Romans. I said to you, I'm getting stuck with these two verses, verse 16 and 17. I haven't put it on the slide, so I'm just going to read it for you. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I so want to be right all the time, especially in marriage. I have to be right all the time. It's okay. It is in us to want to be right. We want to be right in the traffic. We want to be right at work. Everywhere we want to be right in our relationships. Even with God, we want to be right. This is not the righteousness of God. This is our righteousness. This whole book is written for that reason. The people of the day, the Romans, in the city of Rome, heart of the empire, were wise in their own eyes. The Greeks, it was a mix of Romans and Greeks, and a lot of philosophers, a lot of the names you will know, Plato, came out of that time. They wanted to be right, they wanted to be wise. And Paul is writing into this wisdom, if I can call it that, but it's not really wisdom. It's being wise in our own eyes, being right in our own eyes. And what Paul is saying to them is that God has given you this precious gift. I don't have words. I struggle with words to explain this concept, but it's like God from the beginning has planned this precious, it's like a mystery, it's like a present, it's like a gift, and this is the gospel. It's like God knew, God the Father, it's like He knew for us to be able to live day by day, hour by hour. We need this more than money, more than energy, more than water, more than anything you can think about, relationships. We need the gospel. And therefore it's important to know what is the gospel. And he's trying to explain it here in these two verses. He's saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Then if you jump to the next verse, then he says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. I think somewhere, and I know somewhere in the future, there's going to be this tribunal in the courts of heaven. And the only thing that's going to carry us there is the righteousness of God. Our righteousness is not going to work there. Actually, it makes God angry. Our righteousness. God has got no time for our righteousness. And in this book you're going to see, even in this chapter, if we carry on just now, you're going to see that God's got no time for man's own righteousness. There's only one, if I can call it, value system. If you think about the rand, how far the rand carries, or maybe the pound, how far the pound carries. The only value system that will carry us now and into eternity when we are with God is the righteousness of God. And that is the gospel. It is inside. He says in that next verse, this is inside the gospel. We know that Jesus was a king in heaven. He was born in a stable. He came to serve. And that was his life. He lived for 33 years on this earth serving. And he came and showed us an example how to live. We want to be successful in the way we live. That's why we study. That's why we work hard. That's why we think, we make plans. It's all good. There's nothing wrong with that. But he's saying to us that we need the gospel. We need this righteousness of God to be able to be happy, to have peace. It's all in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God, if you can package it, was Jesus coming from heaven, becoming a man, living on this earth, suffering, dying, going to hell for us. He did it for us, didn't do it for himself. I said to you, the Father hates unrighteousness, our righteousness. Father hates sin. The fear of God is to hate sin, to abhor evil. The Proverbs talk, we'll read Proverbs a little bit just now, but Proverbs talk about the beginning of wisdom. This is the fear of God. That's where it starts, when we start fearing God. Not man. Fear of God is against the fear of man. So you'll see if you run on your own righteousness, fear of man becomes a big issue. Always think about, what will my boss say? What will my study layer say? What will my partner say? It's always that fear of man. Where when you're running on the righteousness of God, which is inside the gospel, which was paid for us by Jesus, given to us by God the Father, but paid by the blood of Jesus, then that deals with the fear of man. And then we start running on the fear of God. That's why he says in this verse, the just shall live by faith. It is the way we're going to live. There is no other way to live. For us as Christians, following the Lord Jesus Christ, there is just no other way to live but by the righteousness of God. Okay, now I think we can start. So, a foolish heart. It's actually, I want to jump to, if I can do it, it's dry. I want to jump to, if I go here, the piece in Proverbs, because it explains it nicely. Okay, it's not working with me. Peter, can I ask you to help me? You can just come and sit over here. I think about the third or fourth slide is a slide on Proverbs. We want to speak about our heart. The heart of man is deceptive above everything else. Proverbs 4:20-23, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Is that the only one I've put there on Proverbs? So this one deals with to protect our heart. That's fine. My dad went to UK to go and visit my brothers a few years back before he died. And he came back and he said to me, there's only one thing. I didn't understand it when he said to me, keep your heart more than anything else. Protect your heart. I'm starting to understand it now, because It is in our heart that desire is. Desire can be a good thing or a bad thing. I can have a desire to be a doctor. And I can do that for the rest of my life. Just follow that dream. That doesn't make it good or bad. Desire is built into us. Pure desire will hunger for righteousness. Evil desire will lust after things. Whether it's recognition, like I said, if I want to be a doctor, I'm just using an example, I'm not knocking any people here. I actually wanted to be a doctor when I came out of matric, but then I went into the engineering line. There can be a lust for recognition, a lust for power, a lust for money. Paul is addressing all these issues in Rome. This is a very powerful city. The senators are very powerful. Caesar is God, with a small g. Caesar is recognized by everybody as God. So remember, this gospel is now coming into that, where Paul is saying, I fear God. The power of God unto salvation. That is what this gospel did. This gospel is the one that will save you. And he's not just talking about 10 years back when you gave your life to the Lord. He says it will save you through life, physical life, and into eternity. That's how powerful this gospel is. And let's start reading. Let's go to the first slide, Peter. This was from last week, but I just want to repeat it to get some momentum. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. We said those two words, ungodliness, has to do with our relationship with God. So it's either godly or ungodly. It's either in love or there's no love towards God. And we said unrighteousness of men is to do with that horizontal bar of the cross. And it's either righteousness to men or unrighteousness. Either love to men or no love to men. That's where God challenges us. We hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So the word is saying there that we can see God. You look outside, you look at the heavens, you look at the stars, we can see God. We can believe in God. You cannot become saved, but you can believe in God. That is what God is addressing there. No one has got an excuse. Every man, no matter where he is, you can look at nature, you can look at the way of animals, you can look at the birth of a child, you can look at the stars, and you will know there is a God. And he can recognize God as God. He cannot be saved that way, but he can recognize God. That's what he's talking about here. They can see the invisible things, which is it's his eternal power and his Godhead. They can see it in nature, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Remember, he's talking to the Romans here. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So we said last time the word philosopher is lover of wisdom. Philo, sophos. Wisdom is sophos, lover of wisdom. You're nodding your head. You know the Turkish language. Sophos is wisdom. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Which is how foolish our heart can get. Here we have the Creator, and then we choose not to serve him or to extol him. Worship is worth-ship. He is worth it, so we worship him. Worth-ship. And we rather go and build something, four-footed creature, put something on a mantelpiece, like what the Romans did, they had about 100 gods or more, and serve them. Serve the creation instead of the creator. So for the first point this morning is protect your heart more than anything. Because desire comes from there. Desire is like a compass. I love reading the books of John Eldridge. And he says there's a lot of desire, a lot of adventurous desire. Especially he's talking to men. His wife Stacy is talking to women. She wrote that book, Bekoorlik. Captivating Heart, that's the book she wrote. But he talks into this wild desire of men, this adventure, and it's like a horse that wants to run. But it needs to run with the right things. So that's why I said you can either have pure desire, just based on the righteousness of God, or you can have evil desire, which is that lust for more and more and more, whatever it is you want. Secondly, God gave them up. Okay, let me read further. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Remember, there's that word. That's the bad desire, is the lust of their own heart. That's when you're running in your own righteousness. Not running in the righteousness of God here, running in your own righteousness. Then lusts come in. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves, talking about sexual lust there, who change the truth of God into a lie. So this is the next step. Peter, did I put John 8 on that slides? Yeah, let's read that part. Talking about the father of the lies. Jesus is speaking here, John 8, verse 39 to 47. They answered and said unto him, Abram is our father. This is now the Pharisees speaking to Jesus and the Sadducees. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abram's children, you would do the works of Abram. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. See that? A man. Jesus is the Son of Man. He wasn't God on earth. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abram. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. You see the love to the father that Jesus have? This is what he came to demonstrate to us. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. Remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were all the time running on their own righteousness. We're giving tithes. We are giving to the poor. We're actually going to visit our parents. Jesus said all of that has got no meaning if you cannot do it from the deepest recesses of your heart. That's the law wrongly applied. The law is spiritual. They are applying it physically with their flesh. So it's their self, it's their own righteousness. Ye are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer. He's talking about the devil here. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's why we say the devil is the father of lies. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear him not, because ye are not of God. I said there's going to be a tribunal, and the only value system, if I can call it that, is going to carry in that tribunal is the righteousness of God. He's saying to them, yeah, you are not convicting me. You are saying many words, and it's all based on scripture, but you are not convicting me. He's saying to them, it's your righteousness. This is not God's righteousness. I am speaking to you God's righteousness. You see the tension there between the two. And you see here that the devil is the father of lies, where Jesus is the truth. I think it's John 17, verse 12, that says, he speaks about truth. He says, you, Father, have sent me. You are truth. You have sent me. I can quickly look for it. Let me just find that verse. John 17, verse 14. John 17, verse 14. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And we know that Jesus said in John 1, verse 14, that the word has become flesh. So Jesus is truth. He is the word and he is truth. That is opposite Satan, who is the father of lies. So he's saying here that, can you go back to that slide, the previous one on Romans, that one, yeah. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. This happened in the Garden of Eden as well. Satan came to them and said, did God say? Just twisted it a little bit. Did God say, you're not allowed to eat of that tree? And they listened. And the moment they listened to the father of lies, they walked out of love. They stepped out of love. And from then on, their relationship with the father was broken. That night, they didn't walk with him in the garden, which was sad. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. This all is happening because God gave them up. You see how a foolish heart, how dangerous that is. And we can keep on resisting the Holy Spirit, and eventually he will give us up. Not talking about us, but man in general. If we keep on resisting the Holy Spirit, eventually he will just give us up. And then what happens? What is in us already, that old nature that comes right from the beginning and started with Adam coming down the bloodline, all that stuff come out, that old Adamic nature. I'm going to get to the mind. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burnt in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. Next slide, Peter. Next one. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. There will come a time when the Holy Spirit will leave this earth. Because the Holy Spirit is in the body. Remember, in the wilderness, there was a tabernacle, and God's presence dwelt there. And then in Jerusalem, when the temple was built, in the Holy of Holies, God's presence dwelt there. Jesus said, this place will be broken down and built up in 3 days. He was talking about his body. They thought that he was talking about the temple. And he went to hell. After 3 days, he rose from the death by the Holy Spirit. And now he is the head of the body. We are the body. He is the head of the body. And his presence, the presence of the Father, is dwelling in us by the Holy Spirit. So when that Holy Spirit is going to leave this earth in his bride, in his church, in us, then this is what's going to happen. This is what the earth is going to look like. There will be nothing preventing Satan from releasing in us and through our old nature all these things. It will not be a happy place, the earth. give them over to a reprobate mind. The reprobate mind is a darkened mind. There's no light there. To do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers is gossipers, backbiters, haters of God, spiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. We are all these things. Don't think this is not you. The only thing that keeps us from this is our flesh. If you want a description of our flesh, this is our flesh. The only thing that keeps us is our decision to follow after the Spirit. Galatians 5 talks about this fight against flesh and spirit. And when we choose for the Spirit is there to help us. We choose for the flesh, the Holy Spirit can't help us. It says it in Galatians 5. The flesh is stronger than the Spirit if we choose to follow the Spirit. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And thinking about that judgment of God, we know that righteousness of God means that we are innocent. We are innocent in a court of law when we have been found to be innocent. When somebody accused us, in this case it's the devil, Satan, accusing us, and Jesus coming and showing his blood, he says, Father, I paid for their sins, and therefore we are innocent. That is the righteousness of God. We are innocent. So the judgment of God has got no effect on us. That is his mercy on us. That's what this whole book of Romans is about, is God's mercy. His mercy triumphs judgment. Yes, there is judgment for sin. Never think, I can keep on sinning. Paul says, please do not. But his mercy always triumphs his judgment. And the gospel is that mercy that is given to us. So a reprobate mind means the light has gone out. You have no light, no life, no love. That is the effects of a foolish heart. So the encouragement this morning is to cultivate the desire that is in your heart. Please don't sit at your home. You want to go and climb Kilimanjaro, and you think, I may die if I climb that mountain, or I may lose a toe. Go and do your desire. But do it within the righteousness of God. Don't do it in our lustful desire. Don't do it for recognition. Don't do it to attain anything. Just do it because it's in your heart. And the righteousness of God is fueling you to follow hard after him. Okay. Father, thank you for your word. We can spend all day and all night just listening to your word. Just learning from you. Jesus, you ask your disciples, why don't you leave me? And Peter said, because you've got the words of life. And we want to declare that this morning, that you have the words of life. And we just need you, Lord. I pray for these precious desires in front of me, every heart and every desire. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will cultivate that desire. Not to become dormant, but also not to become lustful, but to be enwrapped and filled by the righteousness of God, to go places we have not even imagined we will go with you. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name.